This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. Well, one of the guys that we love to talk to on Mock Monday is Eric Galco from Optimum Scouting. Why? Because Eric knows his stuff. And why does he know his stuff? Because he works at it, like going to the Senior Bowl to look at all of the college prospects. And Eric is there right now in Mobile, Alabama, and he joins us on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Good. We are well. It sounds like you're hustling, out of breath, ready to go, scouting players.
Yeah, always here. It's a fun week here. It's a work week here in Mobile, but it's a lot of opportunities to get some good information, especially on what team that needs quarterbacks might be looking for.
Well, way to tee that one up for us. What have you seen so far in that regard, and who do you like? Because John Dorsey yesterday all but said we're taking a quarterback at number one. Could be a smokescreen. I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it, too. I've heard that the Browns really aren't. I mean, every team is going to take calls on trades, but very, very unlikely that the team trades the first overall pick because they need a quarterback. And I think most importantly, and I think John Dorsey knows this as well, the ownership wants a quarterback first overall. The last GM got fired because he moved down twice instead of taking a quarterback. So I think that all signs point to quarterbacks first overall. And, you know, asking people around the league today and agents and scouts, other teams, and finding out what the Browns might do, really everyone has a different opinion. You know, some scouts think that Josh Allen might really be in play from Wyoming. Some people think that Josh Rosen might fit who John Dorsey likes as a quarterback and a personality. And then other people, like myself, have kind of concluded that Sam Darnold makes the most sense. And then you have Baker Mayfield stuff and Mike White of West Kentucky being an option in the middle rounds, too. So the Browns are doing a good job, I think, of keeping an open mind. I think they truly don't know which quarterback they like the most yet, and they're going to use the whole process to their best ability to find a guy who fits best what Cleveland wants to do.
All right, Eric, I'm not going to hold you to it after you say this, but going into the Senior Bowl, how would you rank these quarterbacks, one through, you know, whatever you want to do, five if you want to do.
Including the juniors?
Yes.
Yeah, Sam Darnold, first quarterback on my board. I think a lot of teams' boards, and I think when you think of Darnold as more of a 2019 quarterback prospect or in the NFL, he looks a lot better. I think he just needs maybe half a season of learning under his belt in the NFL level, and he'll be a great quarterback. I think he's a lot similar to Carson Wentz, if people want to think he is. Number two is Josh Rosen, and after that it gets a little bit open. I think Baker Mayfield's number three, Mike White of Western Kentucky, Mason Rudolph, Oklahoma State, probably four or five. And you notice I didn't say Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen has a lot to prove here in Mobile in interviews at the Combine, and I think teams came into the year thinking he's a top 10 pick, but thinking guys a top 10 pick and actually drafting him in the top 10 when your job's in the line as a GM or a head coach are different things. So I'd say Josh Allen right now for us at Optimum Scouting, and I think a lot of teams around the league, is not one of the top four or five quarterbacks in this draft class, but certainly could get back up there if he plays well this week at the Senior Bowl and at the NFL Combine.
All right, a lot of talk about the Browns, excuse me, wanting to try to go out and get Alex Smith or maybe Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. If the Browns were to go out and I think Alex Smith makes more sense here. Say they go out and get Alex Smith because they know he's going to be their starter. Are you still taking a quarterback at one, or is there a quarterback in that group that you're saying, hey, this guy isn't going to be there right away, but if he's behind a guy like Alex Smith, look out 2-3 years from now?
Right. I think the Kirk Cousins dynamic is a little bit different. He's going to cost a lot of money. I don't think he's going to go to Cleveland. I think he's got his mind made up on two or three teams that he really wants to go to. But we'll see if John Dorsey and New Jackson can make a great push for him. But I think Kirk Cousins is more of a pipe dream for Cleveland. I think a lot of teams really do want him. But Alex Smith makes a lot of sense. And you know, the Chicago Bears last year got ripped a little bit for signing Mike Glennon and then drafting Mitch Trubisky and devoting that much capital to different quarterbacks. But a lot of teams around the league feel that same way. And it's more like, you know, dart to the dartboard, the quarterback position, get a guy in free agency, have a guy in the first round, have Deshaun Kaiser to develop. And I think that's what teams want to do and just see who wins. It worked for the Seahawks 7 years ago with Russell Wilson and Tavares Jackson and Matt Flynn. And I think the Browns could do a similar situation, hopefully find there Russell Wilson. So I think Alex Smith to be the bridge quarterback for Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen makes a lot of sense. I think the Smith connection to Kansas City, you know, they won't be the only team going after him. Same for Case Keenum. I think they'll approach Case Keenum as well and see if he's a fit too. But don't have competition for those guys. But overall, I think Alex Smith in Cleveland makes a lot of sense, and they can pay him handsomely.
Eric Galco joining us from Optimum Scouting. He's at the Senior Bowl looking at all of the guys that the Browns coaching staff, the Browns front office, looking at right now. I've asked this to a couple of folks in the last week, Eric. What if none of these quarterbacks really separates himself? What will it come down to for John Dorsey in picking one of them?
I think it'll be trust. I think he'll use, and John Dorsey's great at this, of using the coaching staff to the best of their ability in the evaluation process. And these coaches are not going to have the time. I think the quarterbacks will, but not the time to evaluate all of these guys. But they're going to know what matters in a quarterback prospect for them. And whether you like, you know, Hugh Jackson as an offensive coordinator or not, all of these quarterbacks, offensive coordinators and head coaches can develop quarterbacks in their system. So finding guys that I think Hugh Jackson is going to appreciate and kind of have that easy transition is going to be a big deal. So I think that'll be the big separating factor here. And also the interview part of things. You know, teams in the NFL nowadays want quarterbacks who can make the most of offensive line issues they may have in the NFL, whether the offensive line is bad. The Browns aren't a bad offensive line, but if injuries take place, how is that quarterback going to handle that thing? That's one of the big things the Eagles loved about Carson Wentz. He's a guy they can trust handling their offense mentally, in the locker room, pre-snap, all those things before the play's even going on. As a quarterback, they felt really comfortable with him. The rest of the stuff kind of came with him. So I think John Dorsey's going to recognize that. He saw that in Pat Mahomes, that mentally he's there, but you know, just needs a year of seasoning. I think that's what they'll value the most. So if they trust Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, whomever, in the interview process, handling that kind of thing, I think John Dorsey and Jackson feel they can develop a quarterback and bring the kind of culture around them to make them successful.
Eric Galco joining us from Optimum Scouting. Eric, along with a quarterback, you know, you want to give him weapons. And from all accounts, deep running back class. From all accounts, maybe not as deep at wide receiver. Can you go over both spots for us? And if you're the Browns, is it a must that you need to go after Barkley at four, or are there other guys that you like?
Yeah, there's a lot of running backs in this class that are pretty good. I think last year was a bit deeper at running back. But overall, you've got Barkley at four. Is really in play. He'll be a top 6-7 pick. You got Darius Geis of LSU and actually Ronald Jones of USC, two guys that might be late first-round picks. And you got the two Georgia running backs, Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. So I think all those guys are in the wheelhouse to be top 40, 50 picks. And, you know, we're seeing kind of a running back renaissance in the high school and college, now the NFL level, of all these great young running backs playing well. I think teams are smart enough to not assume it's going to keep up, but take guys while you can. You know, the Browns have done a great job, I think, in evaluating running backs in years past. And they got the most out of Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson and other running backs they have. I think now they got to find a top talent to kind of complete that offense. So they'll have options after the top four picks to find running backs. And if they can go Sam Darnold and Saquon Barkley, that's not too bad. And as for receiver, not the deepest class this year, but there's plenty of guys they can find that can kind of fit what Hugh Jackson wants in round three or four. And he's kind of a guy who needs a big number one receiver, and he's got that in Josh Gordon and even Corey Coleman. But he's great at kind of making the most out of slot guys, interior guys that can work well. And there's a lot of those guys in this draft class for the third, fourth round.
Well, Eric, it's something we haven't said for a long time, although there was a moment where we thought we might have the replacement for Joe Thomas. That didn't seem to work out. But, I mean, Joe looks very healthy right now, but he looks undersized as we see him on TV the last couple of days. And even he said, you know, they'd be smart if they go out and draft a left tackle for the future. What do you help me with left tackle, because I don't even know where to start on trying to find the best in college football.
Yeah, I think you look back at John Dorsey's first pick as a GM of the Kansas City Chiefs. He took Eric Fisher, and I think that's, you know, they're not doing that this year. They're not taking a left tackle first overall. I don't think so, at least. But you look at four, that's where you want to go. And especially for quarterback and left tackle and even cornerback, you don't want to just, like, take the best guy available. You want the guy that's best for you. And if you have to move up to get him, you do that. I think so. I think at four makes a lot of sense for a left tackle. And I've heard the same situation. The Browns want to go after a left tackle early in this draft class. Orlando Brown of Oklahoma is our top guy. I'm not sure he's a fit for Chicago. I'm sorry, the Cleveland Browns and Hugh Jackson's offense. I think he's more fit elsewhere as a bigger, mauling left tackle. But a guy, Connor Williams of Texas, is a guy that's a high upside player, a lot like Eric Fisher in some ways. Brian O'Neill of Pittsburgh, not really an option at four, but he's a guy that reminds a lot of Lane Johnson. Maybe he rises to that level for the Cleveland Browns. So there's a lot of offensive tackle options. And you know, this year, this draft class is going to be offensive line heavy in round one for a few reasons. One, it's a really talented class of tackles and guards, and teams see that and recognize the top talent there. But also, the fact that offensive line salaries around the NFL are really rising, and the Browns saw that last year. They invested in two of them, spending a lot of free agent money to do that. And if you can get a left tackle at number four overall for $6 million a year, rather than paying a guy, you know, $15 million to be a left tackle, that's a pretty good deal. So I think all that to say, the Browns should take a left tackle early in this draft and not wait, because teams recognize how talented this class is.
Eric Galco is joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Optimum Scouting, and that's his website. He is the owner, CEO, chief bottle washer, everything. With the Browns talking quarterback, what happens with DeShone Kizer? Is it a one-year shot? Hey, thanks, young man. You're out of here. You're done. Or just go take a seat at the end of the bench. Does he have any future here in Cleveland?
Yeah, I think it's not too dissimilar to the Carolina Panthers drafting Jimmy Clausen and that not working out after 1 year and then getting the first overall pick and drafting Cam Newton. That actually seems a lot very similar to what may happen here in Cleveland. And that's kind of how it goes sometimes. I think Kizer, and I think people in that building still believe in Kizer as a quarterback, but at the end of the day, you need a quarterback to be successful in the NFL, and the Browns can't keep losing. Hugh Jackson's job depends on it. So I think they might trust in DeShone Kizer, but not enough to pass on quarterbacks elsewhere to be successful. So I think for Kizer, if they sign Alex Smith or any other quarterback and they draft Sam Darnold or any other quarterback to top the draft, you don't want to have a second-round pick being a third-string passer. I mean, the Denver Broncos might be in the same situation with Paxton Lynch as well about, hey, you got a young guy who we don't believe in anymore, and what do we do with him? But there'll be teams that are proactive. You know, the New England Patriots are looking for a developmental quarterback, and if they believe in DeShone Kizer or Paxton Lynch, maybe they trade one of those guys for a fourth, fifth round, they can get a great return on their investment. So there'll be teams that want DeShone Kizer. I think if the Browns have a plan in place shortly after the draft or even during the draft, hey, move DeShone Kizer, get him in a good situation. It's not his fault. He wasn't all that successful this year, and I think they want to do that for him.
I'm just curious, Eric, your thoughts on the Browns and the staff that they've put together to evaluate talent moving forward, moving away from analytics and leading with John Dorsey. When you look at the Browns now, do you say, I feel a lot better about what they could do?
Yeah, you know, I think Sacha Brown got a little bit of a bad shake. I think he did a great job in you know, getting top talent there and having success in his draft picks. And I think we'll look back in a few years and be like, man, Sacha Brown had, you know, two really good drafts at the full helm and having full control with his roster. But, you know, the staff John Dorsey's put together, a big part of it is, you know, a couple, Elliot Wolf and Alonzo Highsmith are two guys that should be GMs in the league and will be GMs soon. And they just, it was time to leave Green Bay. I think John Dorsey took a minute and said, hey, you guys want to work here for a year, 2 years, 3 years? We'll take your scouting talent. So I think Dorsey did a great job of kind of bringing these top guys together, even for a short period of time, and kind of taking control of his first year with the team. But, you know, Elliot Wolf and Alonzo Highsmith, two guys especially that I'm very confident will be, you know, GMs in the league in the next 3-4 years. And having three GM-type guys is how you build a great culture in Cleveland. I think that's one thing Cleveland has missed is the stability and a great culture of talent evaluation. And that's why Green Bay is successful and all those Green Bay disciples elsewhere in Seattle and in Kansas City and wherever else they are, it's been a huge help for kind of building for the future. I think now the Browns may have that if they can kind of keep these guys together. And finally, now they're back in Cleveland, finally trust a GM for more than 3 years to do the right thing.
He's Eric Galco, Optimum Scouting. You can follow him on Twitter, at Optimum Scouting. And Eric, thanks for calling us from the Senior Bowl, buddy. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. Talk to you
thanks,
soon.
Thanks, Eric.
I'm sure we'll have Eric on in a future Mock Monday.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.